Red Riding Hood. Where are you headed to?
Well, hello, Wolf. I am going to Grandmother's house for a visit, and I'm going to share with her these homemade cakes that my mother made.
Oh, they smell delicious.
They do.
And where does your grandmother live?
Oh, just at the end of the path, the first house.
Enjoy your visit.
Okay, thank you. What a nice wolf. I think I'll sample one of Mother's goodies. Yummy, yummy. I know Grandma won't mind too much. Oh, I better get going.
Well, granddaughter, what a pleasant surprise.
Grandmother, you look so different today.
Yes, dear, I'm a little under the weather. Won't you come in?
You know, Grandmother, I think I'm going to leave the goodies for you right here. And I have this great idea to go and pick you some flowers to cheer you up.
Okay, granddaughter. I'll be lying down resting. Just let yourself in when you return.
Okay. Hope you feel better. Well, hello. Little Red Riding Hood. Now, what do you think that she was up to when she said she was going to go pick some flowers? Do you think she would come back to Grandmother's house in her innocence, like the naive Red Riding Hood that we often learn about? Or do you think she might have had a plan to outwit the wolf? A lesser-known interpretation is told in Women Who Run with the Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. And she says that unlike the typical stories where the wolf eats the grandmother and Red Riding Hood, or other versions where the hunter comes along then and frees grandmother and Red Riding Hood from the belly of the wolf, there's another version where Red Riding Hood meets the wolf in the forest and says, "You know, Wolf, I need to use the restroom." And so off she goes into the forest, and before she leaves, the wolf, because he wants to keep track of her, says, "Here, tie this thread to your finger when you go so you won't get lost, little girl." And so she does. But when she gets out of sight, smart Red Riding Hood unties the thread, ties it to a branch, and easily escapes. There are so many interpretations, so many perceptions, aren't there, to not just fairy tales, but everyday life experiences. We could all be in this room and something could happen and we could all tell each other what happened afterwards, and it's like a game of phone tag, right? Sometimes after a service, you'll tell me something I didn't say and say how much it helped you today, and I'm like... I'll say, "That is wonderful. I'm so glad you got that today." I'll think, "I didn't say that." But it's what we need, right? Or sometimes what we don't need. And that's the piece that we're going to work with a little bit today, is the misperception aspect. Because misperceptions are one of the winds of conflict that we're talking about in our Eye of the Storm series. Last week, we talked about separation and its antidote, communion. Today, it's misperception and its antidote, spiritual seeing, clearer seeing, higher seeing, deeper seeing. So we're going to look at that a little bit. You know, when you think of that moral of the story for Little Red Riding Hood, I mean, what would you want young women of today to know? Don't talk to strangers and hope that if you do, someone will come along and save you? Or trust your intuition to get out of dangerous situations? Yeah, right? So we're going to work with that a little bit. The powers that we have within us, the 12 powers of humankind, one of the key teachings of unity, similar to the idea of the chakras, if you're familiar with those, that there are these energy centers, these spiritual abilities within us, and we can activate them through our conscious attention and bring forth the ones that we need in certain situations. So we're going to practice with that a little bit today as we work with this wind of conflict. And what a great day to do it, but on Halloween, right? Thank you all for the costumes and the fun for engaging in this, because part of Halloween is the power of imagination at work, isn't it? It's this idea of moving into the realms that are, they say at this time of year, the spiritual realm and the physical realm, the veil between them being the thinnest. So it's a time for us to play with shape-shifting, with characterizations through costume and mask and play and all of that that allows us to experience different aspects of life and ourselves, our alter egos, whatever you may want to call it, stepping into those different ways of being. There's so many different ways also during this time of year that help us to confront conflict even, because we are constantly being confronted by monsters and ghouls and all kinds of things, ghosts and things that kind of maybe make us catch our breath, like we often do when we are in a situation that feels either dangerous or conflictual, or like there's that kind of energy in the air and it makes us tense up, right? So it's that kind of experience that we might be having. Anybody like to carve pumpkins this time of year? And think about that process, right? We take this seemingly inanimate thing, even though we know it's alive, right? Because it was grown, and we give it expression. We carve it into different faces and we put lights inside and light up the light inside, the energy of that pumpkin, and it becomes like a living being, our own creation with its own kind of almost human-like expression often. I remember back in the day when I was growing up in the suburbs of Detroit, on this night, Halloween Eve, we would have a thing called Devil's Night there. I don't know if it's ever been celebrated here. It's probably best that it's kept very localized. Because it basically was a night for teenagers to wreak havoc. And I only lived there as a small child, so I was on the other end of that. But they would go around teepee houses and soap mailboxes and do all kinds of crazy things on that evening. And in the morning, one morning, I remember our pumpkins were smashed. I know, it was so sad. And I was so sad. I mean, my parents were worried about me because I was so sad. And they said, you know, honey, it's okay, we'll get more pumpkins. You know? But to me, what was different, what I saw that my parents were not seeing, was the pumpkins were alive. And so to me, it was this living being that I had been connected to that was now smashed to smithereens. And that's what hurt so much. So it's, you know, with the eyes of a child that we really fully enter this kind of perception that helps us with the misperceptions in everyday life, in conflictual situations in particular, by raising up to a different kind of realm that we are able to see from, that place where we can imagine different possibilities, different ways of approaching something. That's the kind of energy we want to get into. And so childlike energy, actually childlike traits, really help us in these kinds of scenarios. Not childish, that actually makes it worse. So we don't want to get childish, which is sometimes what the ego does, right? We want instead to be childlike. And in childlikeness, we enter that place of curiosity, of openness, of imagination, of a reverence for life. So all of these we can carry with us. It reminds me a little bit of a story I once heard where Shayla Wright was in fifth grade and she came home and she's telling her mother about what she learned that day in science class. And she says, Mom, when you look at a chair, it's not really solid. And her mom says something like, say what? And she says, it's not really how it is. It's not really how it appears. And her mother says, what do you mean? And she says, well, The chair and other things like it are made up of tiny particles. And those tiny particles are called molecules and atoms, and they're zooming around all the time. And her mother says, "Are you sure that's what your teacher said?" She says, "What are these little zooming particles made of?" And Shayla says, "This is the best part. Nothing. It's just energy. It's nothing but space." And she says, "My mother got very quiet, and she began to touch things and walk around with wonder and curiosity and bewilderment. Throughout the day, I would see her stop and touch something and just have that look on her face." And she said, "All day, it felt as if my mother and I were standing at the edge of an abyss in which our minds could not quite bring us to the other side, yet we were peering into the mystery." That's what it's like when we get new information that expands our minds, isn't it? When something, some amazing image, like those recent images that we looked at together of the space shuttle that showed the birthplace of the stars, when we experience something that isn't, we learn isn't the way that we thought it was all of our life, and we go, "Wow, wow, wow." In those moments of wow, we are actually expanding the borders of our consciousness. We are actually opening things up to a place that they won't retract to again, because we have now opened those doors. And when we are on those edges, we are in a new place of possibility. And actually, we might not think of it this way, but conflict and challenge brings us there. It brings us to the very edge of our conscious knowing. It brings us to the edge of what we know. And then we have those habitual reactions that we typically have, right? And so what we are doing in this work together in the eye of the storm is learning to shift from our old habitual reactions and move into a bigger space, a bigger spiritual space, so we can respond in a different kind of way. In a way that brings more of the divine into the world, in a way that allows us to embody more of that truth, in a way that brings fulfillment to ourselves and to our relationships, that frees our minds. There's so many things that come from that kind of stepping into the new place and casting or creating maybe a new boundary that we can grow into. And so that's really what's happening in these moments when something shifts in our perception like this, like it did for Shayla and her mother. And what happened for them was they activated the power of imagination. That new information activated their power of imagination. That's what makes us go, "Wow," and go into that state of wonder and awe and curiosity, very much like where children often live, right? Exploring the new world around them. And so it's that place that we want to allow ourselves to take the opportunity when we are faced, especially with challenge and difficult places, to recognize, even if we just told ourselves in that moment, this is an opportunity to spiritually grow. You know, all of a sudden somebody's yelling at us and we're able to go to that place inside of us and go, "Oh, this is an opportunity for me to spiritually grow." Yeah, it's tough, isn't it, to imagine that in that moment? But we can get there because it takes practice, right? And as we practice in the moments we're not there, then when we are there, it's easy for us to go to those familiar places. So, you know, Mr. Rogers used to say that when he was watching the news, that and it was something scary when he was a child, his mother would always say, "Look for the helpers." And so for us as adults, we're looking for the helpers. And what I mean by that is the innate helpers, the spiritual practices, the spiritual principles. That's what will help us in a difficult situation. And so the more practice we are, the easier it is going to be for us
to shift into our power of imagination or our power of wisdom, to see with spiritual eyes, to feel the guidance that we are being given in any given time, to get beyond the surface mind's impulses. So what did Little Red Riding Hood do in our skit today when she sensed that something was amiss? Do you remember what she did? She was going to go get some flowers, right? She gave herself space. So imagine, we'll just say in this version, that Little Red Riding Hood actually did have a moment of going, oh, I don't think that's grandmother. And feeling maybe this may not be safe. And then buying herself a little time, right? I'm going to get some space. Maybe she did really go pick flowers, but it was to give herself maybe some space to kind of sort through what's really going on here and what should I do about it? How should I respond? Same thing for us, right? When we are in these situations, if we can give ourselves a little space. And that's the whole, you know, conventional wisdom around if you feel angry, count to 10. You know, it works. I've done it. It actually really works. Because we are giving ourselves space. Instead of reacting, we are giving ourselves space, and it de-escalates those emotions, lets the emotions like a mist begin to part, and then we can see with greater clarity. We can feel with a greater knowing, and then we know what to do in a whole different kind of way. We'll do something or say something in a whole different kind of way, in a way that will feed us and nurture and nourish that relationship and not create more distance, more separation, like the one we talked about last week. So let me take for a moment, as we get that space, and sometimes we might even have to ask for it, right? Can you give me 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes to come back to this conversation? Because I feel like if I cleared my head for a moment, I would come back to this in a different kind of way. I think somebody would be happy. I know if I were on this receiving end of that, I would certainly rather somebody tell me that than, you know, have this crazy, you know, I don't know why I'm using that. I'm sorry, I'm using that word. Explosive moment, right? Or whatever it may be. So to just have a little spaciousness, sometimes we can just ask. And then during that time, to revisit our perceptions for a moment. To just drop in and see if we can even suspend our current perception. This can be very difficult, but if we can just tell ourselves, okay, I know I'm seeing this and experiencing this in a certain way, I'm going to put that aside so that I can let the divine show me if there's another way, if there's another perception, if there's something I'm missing here, if there's something to see to be revealed. And during that time, we could get curious. In fact, we might ask ourselves, what am I making this mean? Because that really gets to what's underneath, right? What am I making this mean? And as we ask that, Gary Simmons says, the author of our book, says, really, that's the enemy. That's the foe, is what we are making it mean. That's what we're fighting against internally. Maybe it looks external, but it's internally. We're fighting with what we are making the situation mean, what we are making what the person just said mean, what we are making what they said or didn't say, or whatever the scenario is. It's that we want to get to work on. So the way that we can do that is to recognize that we create that, and we have the sole power then to change that. So I want to take you through an exercise. If you'd like to participate in it, I invite you to perhaps close your eyes. It might be a little bit easier if you close your eyes. And just allowing yourself a couple of breaths to get into that centered space that is familiar to you. And now if you'll bring your attention to your first eye, that's eye between your two physical eyes on your forehead, some call it the third eye. And just breathing into this space now, putting your attention, consciousness, your energy here. This is where the power of imagination lives. we begin to see it in its color, sky blue. So with every breath, there's a little more spaciousness in this area of your head. And it might even begin to look like sky blue. Open sky. And now just letting that blue sky be your background. See if you can drop in some kind of challenge or conflict, something that's you're struggling with. Just let it appear. You don't have to worry about what it is. Just spirit will bring it to you. So just letting it fill in there a little bit, situation, person you're having trouble with. Or it could be something in your recent past. And now I invite you to see that situation, yourself, the person, bathed in divine light. And as you are infilled with this divine light and it fills up the situation and the other person, imagine yourself now responding from this place of how you feel now, how it looks now. And notice how it feels. And so when you're ready, we'll release this scenario and just see that blue sky once again. And bringing your attention back behind your eyes, opening your eyes when you're ready. And so if you were in this situation and then you wanted to know, well, how do I need to respond? You might see it, as you might have just experienced through the power of imagination. You might also go to the center of wisdom that is in the solar plexus, that is bright sunlight color, big yellow color, and go into that space and just ask spirit, what's mine to say or to do, and to be guided from that center. Every time we bring our attention in this conscious way to these places, we actually activate that power that's latent there and is ready to be used. And so we can work with as we get to know these powers better, we can work with whatever ones we need in any given moment, calling them forth through prayer, through this kind of meditative experience of knowing. So let's take a look at the steps that we just took and how to expand our perception. So we can go apart, take a little space, suspend our current perceptions. That one might be the hardest one. So if you could just tell yourself, just for now, I'm going to suspend this perception. Just for now, I'm going to set it aside just for this exercise. And then to get curious, what am I making this mean? And if feelings come up around it, which they very well may, if it's a heated situation, remember tending and befriending. Tend and befriend those feelings with some self-compassion. And then you can activate the power of imagination, just as we just did, the first eye. And imagine how this scene might unfold differently. Or just simply open that space up and see what comes through the power of imagination. So these are all possibilities for us to shift out of whatever it is that we are dealing with in the day-to-day life that is challenging, and to go to a higher space for ourselves to then meet it there. And in so doing, actually expanding the current boundaries of our conscious awareness. So we are in the process allowing ourselves to grow. Of course, we don't have to be in the middle of conflict to do this, right? In fact, it's great if we have regular practices that help us constantly just like we would go to the gym and work out to, you know, create a stronger body by doing practices based on these principles, we expand our consciousness and our capacity, our strength, if you will. So if we don't have a conflict, we will become better equipped for it by healthy spiritual practices that help us heal misperception and open ourselves to these powers like imagination and wisdom. So, for example, what could we do? Well, if we go back to the idea of being childlike, we could do some things that nurture those childlike characteristics. Yesterday, Brenly and I and our goddaughter Grace is always helpful in these exercises. We went to Boo at the Zoo in our costumes, and we saw so many adults in onesie costumes that alone made us laugh. But it was just joyful, right? And coming into that power of imagination, you know, out of the corner of our eye as we were walking by, we saw a lion, but it wasn't really a lion. It was a dad in a lion costume holding its baby. And, you know, it was that kind of fun, you know, just playing with perception that Halloween allows us to do. And, you know, we can also feed our mind with things that bring us into the realms of magic and mystery. So when we got home, we watched Encanto, which they translate into enchantment. Some of you are nodding your heads. You've seen that movie. So that's great fun. You know, song and dance, it's all about a magical family with innate spiritual gifts. And allowing ourselves then to go to those places where we are spiritually nourished, watching those kinds of programs or listening to that kind of maybe it's the science realm or things that expand our consciousness in that way. Going into nature, of course, always helps to bring forth that sense of wonder and awe and expansion. And, of course, always meditating helps us because it helps us continue to disidentify with our feelings, thoughts, and beliefs and just be in that place of truth that we are so that we're not so hooked into the things that come up in life, but we're able to respond. Charles Fillmore said this in one of his talks at Unity Temple on the Plaza. We should deal with our mind as if it were a spiritual principle, which it is. We may thus erase from consciousness all misunderstanding of mind and give place to a broader, higher understanding of the real self. That's what we're about. Right? Shifting from misperception is shifting from that misunderstanding of the mind and moving into this higher, broader understanding. So the infinite possibilities await us. Our willingness to engage some of this innate power to expand the boundaries of our current consciousness. Are you willing, though? We must be willing to abandon our old habitual ways. And again, just like last week, I'll ask you, how's that going for you, right? Those old habitual ways, a lot of them don't work for us. And so if we can help ourselves shed some of those by taking a new step, trying something new, expanding our mind in a new way, we will then meet and greet the challenges of our life in a very different kind of space and then co-create something in the world that we actually want to live into. So let's go apart and open the door to our imagination this week and really practice with this meeting the wind of conflict of misperception with a kind of spiritual seeing and openness, an opening of our perception. I invite you to say this with me. I heal misperceptions with spiritual seeing. Let's say it together. I heal misperceptions with spiritual seeing. And so it is.